Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 40, The Prayers of Akrura, Text Number 9.
Is that correct?
Sava eva yajanti tvam. Sava eva yajanti tvam. Savadeva Mayeshwaram. Savadeva Mayeshwaram. Yopyanya Devata Bhakta. Yepyanya Devata Bhakta. Yadyapyanya Diya Prabho. Yadyapyanyadiyaprabho Sava eva yajanti tvam Sava deva mayeshwaram Yepyanyadevata bhakta Yadyapyanyadiyaprabho
All.
Eva.
Indeed.
Yajanti. Worship. Tvam. You. Savadeva.
All the demigods.
Maya.
O you who comprise.
Ishwaram. The Supreme Lord. Ye.
They.
Api,
even.
Anya,
of other.
Devata,
deities.
Bhakta,
devotees.
Yadi api,
although.
Anya,
turn elsewhere.
Diya,
the attention.
Prabhu,
O Master.
Translation. But all these people, my Lord, even those who have turned their attention away from you and are worshipping other deities, are actually worshipping you alone, O embodiment of all the demigods. Purport by His Venerable Srila Prabhupada. The idea here is that even those who worship the demigods are indirectly worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The understanding of such worshippers, however, is imperfect. Sava eva yajanti tvam, sava deva mayeshwaram, yepyanya devata bhakta, yadyapyanya diya prabho. But all these people, my Lord, even those who have turned their attention away from you and are worshipping other deities, are actually worshipping you alone, O embodiment of all the demigods. Omma Gyana Timrandasya Gyana Jana Salakya Shakshum Nitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gura Venma Namo Nishidraya Krishna Prasapane Shimati Bhakti Vilamda Swami Kunde Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pichayane Nivise Sasanyogani Vasichara Desha Tavane. So this chapter here is called entitled The Prayers of Akrura. We know from Bhagavatam that there are 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping the Supreme Lord, offering prayers, becoming an order carrier, becoming friend, ultimately surrendering everything. Atmanivedanam. So one can achieve perfection by performing even just one of these 9 processes. You can perform 1, 2, 3 combination of all 9 or all 9. So Akrura He achieved perfection by offering prayers. His example being given, it's like hearing. Maharaj Parikshit achieved perfection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj for remembering. So Akrura for offering prayers. Prithu Maharaj, you know, for worshipping the deities, worshipping the Supreme Lord. Hanuman is all the carrier. And Krishna, I mean Arjuna is a friend of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj, by surrendering everything to Krishna. So here we have these wonderful prayers by Akrura. Here Akrura is seeing, he's taking a bath in the Yamuna, and he saw, although Krishna and Balaram, he left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot, he saw Vishnu manifest lying on Ananta Shesha, surrounded by all the demigods and sages. Very wonderful sight he was observing. They were offering these prayers. How there are different kind of people in pursuing of knowledge. So human brahmanas who perform different sacrifices, chanting mantras. Some they may even pursue spiritual knowledge. They may renounce all material things, material activities, and they may even start investigating about the absolute truth. But it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhavanam Jamanamante Jnanavanman Prapajate Vasudeva Swamiti Samahatma Sudhubhava. After many, many births of searching, that if one is fortunate enough, or he will have to come to this conclusion that Vasudeva Swamiti, that Vasudev is the cause of all causes. But such Samahatma Sudhubhava, such a great soul is very rare. It is very, very rare for someone to come to the point of exclusively worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most people, they are interested in so many different pursuits of so-called spiritual knowledge. If you ever read or turn the pages of some so-called spiritual magazines. One time, it was a long time, many years back, I was looking through a magazine in Denmark. I was just shocked to see all the different so-called spiritual practices that are available out there. So many of them that I never even heard of before. And all these new age things. Sometimes devotees also get drawn to this kind of thing. So there are so many people that may be searching for knowledge, they may be searching for the truth, but they ended up in so many different become misled by so many bogus spiritualists and make some good money out of it. Or others, they may understand that there is some higher being and they worship some higher beings. Like we all know, even in different tribes around the world, sometimes they worship the fire. They consider that to be the most powerful fire. Or they worship the ocean. They worship the sun. So at least they understand, acknowledge that there's some higher being or higher element superior to them. In one sense, they are more intelligent than modern men. Modern men, they may claim that all these tribal people of origins or whatever, they are so unsophisticated. And they think we are so sophisticated. But what do they think? They think we are actually the supreme. There's no higher beings than the human beings. we are the ultimate in the evolutionary process. And that kind of attitude is is manifested in the way they think and in the way they act. For example, many years back, of course there's some scientists may not believe that, but they put out all this, how do you call this, transmitter, sending out the signals out to outer space to find out if there's any living beings in other planets in outer space. And they claim, we have been sending out these signals for so long and we haven't got any reply. So there cannot be any living beings out there. Isn't it like the small kid talking? Sometimes they're really full of themselves and they make claims like that. Maybe these living beings are thinking, what are these puny human beings playing with their toys down there? Why do we even bother? You know? Or if the culture is a bit more advanced, they worship the demigods. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, when he first, after preaching in America, when he first came back to India, maybe it was the second trip he came back to India, I think it was in Calcutta, and if I remember right, they were observing Kali Puja during that time. So they were doing all worship of Kali and like that. So devotees were making comments, and Prabhupada was making comments about it also. But then he said that at least they are more advanced than the Christians, because they, at least they worship some higher being. They have some understanding of some personalism. And the part is so is there. And but often these people, they worship without proper understanding. Stated here, they do not understand. What is very common in India, they do the what they call this pancha pashana. They're not quite sure who is the supreme. So they do this with a, it's called a shotgun worship. Now, shotgun is for people who cannot shoot straight. The snipers, they just need one. The snipers, they call it one bullet, one kill. But the shotgun is when they shoot many bullets, so hoping to hit the target. So this is called shotgun worship. They worship everyone, hoping that they'll hit on the right one. Panjapasha, basically they worship, who they worship? Brahma, Shiva, of course Durga, Ganesh, Vishnu, right? Asurya. So they worship all five. It was the same actually with this sage. He was not quite sure who of the Trinity was the supreme, so he worshipped all three. Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. Who was that, the name of that? Rigamuni? No, there was another one. The father of this sage who's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, who very easily pleased Duvashamuni, the father of Duvashamuni. So anyway, he worshipped all three, and all three appeared, and then he got a son, a partial incarnation of all three, all of the three, of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So very often, like before, when we are traveling on Sankirtan, sometimes when we go to a new town, we have some contact with the Indian, and they allow us to stay in their, they call it the mandir, but actually it's just a, they just have a small apartment. There was one place where you get free use of the apartment. And then one of the rooms is their temple room. And when you look on the altar, everyone is there on the altar. You know? They have Lakshmi Narayan, they have Ganesh, they have Durga, they have Kali, and they have this Baba and that Baba. So many different gurus. And They don't want to offend anyone. You know, so they have everyone. So this kind of thing is there, but and this kind of is their understanding is not very mature. Not very mature, because they do not really know who they are worshipping. And generally people who worship demigods, they are affected by material desires. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamais Paista Rita Jnana Prapadyantani Devata. Tam Tam Niyamam Astaya. What's the last line? Prakritani Astaya. Their intelligence becomes twisted. Twisted intelligence. So they worship the demigods to fulfill their material desires. To get some benediction. And of course in the Vedas there are different recommendations. You want this for good health, you worship Surya. You want a good husband, you worship like even during the time of Chaitanya Prabhu, the young girls they were worshipping Lord Shiva to get a good husband. How Lord Shiva, Chaitanya Prabhu came, disturbed, he said, "You should worship me instead, give all this offering to me." And the girls they were refusing and say, "If you don't worship me, I'll curse you. That you all worship some old man who has already a few wives." So that day, and just like 2 weeks ago, I was helping Radha Charan Prabhu in a Diwali festival in Sandown. They were selling all his mutis thing. And people are supposed to be coming there, and it was Diwali time. Some of these people come, they say, "Yeah, it's Diwali, you know, we want to buy some deities for Diwali." And what is very popular is the Diwali deities. This is Lakshmi, Durga, and Shiva. What a combination. Durga and Shiva, okay, but what does Lakshmi fit into the... I never figure that one out. So they buy. Very, very few of them were buying deities of Ram, Sitaram. Hardly, maybe you saw just one or two Sitaram deities. Most of them were buying Durga, Saraswati, Lakshmi. So as I was saying in the Sunday feast lecture, when I first asked the people, what is Diwali? What is the understanding of Diwali? They say, yes, it's celebrating the return, you know, of Ram and victory over evil. Then I ask them, who do you worship? Some say Sitaram, some say Lakshmi. Now, if he's celebrating the victory of Ram, then why do we worship any other deities? Then it's supposed to be exclusively that day, supposed to be meant for worshipping Ram. So then I was telling them, he said, when you worship Lakshmi without Narayan, what does that mean? Well, we are celebrating the victory of Ram over Ravana, but what did Ravana do? He was stealing Sita. He tried to take Sita without Ram. So you are worshipping only Lakshmi without Narayan, you are doing the same thing as Ravana. How people, they don't understand. They just do things. So I say, Ravana was a big thief. You may be a small thief, but you're still a thief. A thief is a thief. It's big thief or small thief. So, but because of twisted intelligence, they do not understand. So they worship. Sometimes people, they even perform so many austerities to worship the God. Like this, this demon. What's his name? He was worshipping Lord Shiva. Rikasura. Yeah. He was worshipping Lord Shiva to get some benediction. And Lord Shiva was not coming, and then he said, if Lord Shiva don't come, he start offering his flesh. What kind of person is that? cutting up himself and offering. I say, if you still don't come, I'll offer myself into the fire. And the Lord Shiva came. So you don't have to do that. So what do you want? Of course, Lord Shiva knows what he wants. Say, I want the benediction that by the touch of my hand on anyone's head, his head will crack. So this is a demonic mentality. They want something. So, and you generally, this is the mentality of people. They worship a demigod mainly to get some material gains. For what? For sense gratification. Or the demons, they want some benediction to cause harm to others. So the end result is always causing harm. Either it's causing harm to others or causing harm to yourself. Because if you get a benediction for some more material facility for sense gratification, it is harmful. It's not a real benediction. Because it's not to our real benefit. It only entangles us more and more in material existence. So what kind of benediction is that? Benediction means you benedict someone, you're giving something for the benefit of that person. That's real benediction. But you've been benefited, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was cursed by this one Brahmana that you will never enjoy material happiness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in ecstasy. Haribo! But for someone with material consciousness, oh man, my life is ruined. No material happiness. So this is different. So this demon Rikasura asked for this benediction, and Lord Shiva, of course, being bound by the worship of the devotee, they have to give the benediction. And sure enough, Rikasura said, okay, now I want to try it out. And he was chasing Lord Shiva all over. Lord Shiva came to Indra. And Indra said, no, I don't want to get involved. That's between you two. Went to Lord Brahma doesn't want to get involved. Nobody wants to get involved. And in the end, of course, they always come to Lord Vishnu. They shelter Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu, he transformed himself into a young boy. And he addressed this Rikasura by the name of the father. He said, the son of, oh, my dear son of so and so. And immediately this Rikasura, oh, you know my father. Say, what are you doing? Why you look like you are working very hard? Why don't you just sit down here for a while and take a drink and, you know, relax a bit? Say, no. I'm chasing after Lord Shiva. So why are you chasing this Lord Shiva? So he gave me a benediction that by the touch of my hand on anyone's head, his head will crack. And Vishnu, by his illusionary, he was playing trick on this Rikasura. He said, oh, you believe this Lord Shiva? He promised so many things, you know? And that created some doubts in Rikasura. He made so many promises. He said, anyway, but why do you have to work so hard chasing him to try out the benediction? Why don't you just try it on your own head? Actually it's true, you know. And touch on his head and of course it cracked. So usually the demons, when they become very very powerful, they become destructive. They become very destructive to themselves and to others. Nothing good comes out of it. And sometimes they worship the demigods to ask for some very foolish benediction. There was this one devotee of Lord Brahma. He was worshipping Lord Brahma. Very severe austerity which he was performing. And Lord Brahma came to him, said, my dear devotee, so what can I do for you? And then he said, I want the benediction that I will be able to perceive things like you are perceiving. And Lord Brahma said, don't ask for that. Ask for something else. He said, no, that's what I want. He said, no, you can't handle it. But he insisted. And La Brahma, okay, so be it. When he got this benediction, he just cracked up. You have to understand, La Brahma, first of all, he has four heads, three more than us. And that's in our universe. In other universes, he has more. And he's pure intelligence, the most perfect being in the material world. How can we even consider, perceive things the way Lord Brahma is perceiving it? It's not possible. It's beyond our scope. Now, that's Lord Brahma. What to say of Krishna, how Krishna is perceiving things? We don't even want to go that path. If we cannot even perceive things the way Lord Brahma is perceiving, what to say of Krishna? Way out of our league. So this is generally what happened in worship. Due to lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, they worship this god, that god. They worship different elements. It's just like, for example, in Malaysia. Sometimes, in India also, of course, came from India. Sometimes they worship Buddha. When they find there's a Buddha in the tree, some ghost in the tree, they worship this ghost. Isn't it? I remember there was one time my uncle, he called me over and said, "Come, let's go for a ride." I said, "Okay." You know, I was a small kid. I said, "Yeah, sure, get on the motorbike." I was going through, just going out. I was living in a small town, just coming out of the town and going through this dark road with cemeteries on both sides. I was like getting worried, you know, someone's going to just snatch me from the back. A small kid. And then he came into some dark area and there was a tree, and he took out his incense and light up and offer some incense, and you know. And what did they do? In Malaysia they call it Ampa Eko, the four numbers. Lottery, you know. So there's this 10 numbers from 0 to 9 in a little cup, and then pop one number came out, they write down, put it back, and then another number, in this way they get four numbers. And then they'll go and bet. They put some money and bet on that numbers. So this is what happened. They'll go, they find out there's some Buddha, then they'll go and. Sometimes people go to far, far places. So the worship, and there are some people who actually even worship the Buddhas, and they collect them. They collect them. And then use them to do harm to others. And some people, they told me they have this, they call this, some Buddhas are very, very small, like small children. And what they do, they feed them with blood from their own body. And they control these Buddhas and they send them out. Normally these Buddhas come go out and steal things. Sometimes we don't believe this thing. It happened to me. It happened to me. First I thought it was just some small Buddhas. My money was always keep disappearing from my wallet. Doesn't matter where I hide it, it keep disappearing. And first I was suspecting my children. You know? And I thought maybe my wife took something from the shop or something, you know. I asked them, no, and asked the children, no. And I thought maybe I'm getting sinner, you know, counting my money wrong. But there was one time I was actually counting the money, put the money in my wallet, take a bath, came back, count the money again, $200 gone. So I engaged someone, and she came and looked and said, "Actually, someone just doing some dirty business on you. Someone who don't like you. Went to some yogis who has these Buddhas and trying to cause harm." Scary, no? So in the end, I was always walking around with no money in my pocket. Then I keep anything. So all these things are going out there, and it's all for material gains or just all for harmful purposes, to harm others or to harm oneself. And it's done by people who are less intelligent. Now you read in the next verse also. Anyicca samskritatmano vidinabi hite nate yajanti tanmayastvam vai bahu mutteka mutikam. And yet others, those whose intelligence is impure, follow the injunction of Yatadi prabhava nadya pajanya purita prabho vishanti savata sindhum tatvatvam gatayo tata. As rivers born from the mountains and filled by the rain flow from all sides into the sea, so do all this path in the end reach you, O Master. Purport. Lord Krishna himself speaks on this issue of worship in the Bhagavad Gita. Yakinya devata bhakta yajante sradayanvitaha tepimam vivakamteya yajantya vidipuvakam aham hi savayajnanam bhokta cha prabhu eva cha na atumam nabijananti tatvenatascha vantite yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti majyajino pimam. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in the wrong way. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendent nature fall down. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. So it's very clearly stated here. Bhagavad Gita also in the verse says, ultimately, everything reaches Krishna. Ultimately. But those who worship other ghosts, they do not understand that ultimately they worship him. But they do not get the same result. Like someone say, Yattamat Tattapat, very famous in India, right? Very popular. Yattamat Tattapat. All paths lead to the same. Doesn't matter what you do, what you worship, this Maya, what is, you all get the same result. Yattamat Tattapat. But we all know that anything you do doesn't give the same result. You get on the highway and go east, you're not going to end up west. I mean, it's common logic, simple logic, doesn't require much intelligence. But when it comes to things like that, people just become so confused. So they may say that, well, in this case, you know, ultimately we're worshipping Krishna. Doesn't matter what we do, ultimately we worship Krishna, so why bother? So it doesn't matter. But Krishna stated here that those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature, they fall down. You say, Ahami Sava Yajnanam. I am the enjoyer, master of all sacrifices. Bhukta Cha Prabhu Eva Cha. I'm the Prabhu. I'm the Lord. And one who do not understand and recognize my transcendental nature, they fall down. And if you worship demigods, you end up take birth among the demigods. You worship the ancestors, you go to the ancestors. You worship ghosts and spirits, you go to them. Same thing in Malaysia, the Chinese, they're very big for worshipping the ancestors. They're very much into worshipping the ancestors. In most homes, now of course the modern generation don't do that. Most homes, they have altar. Some of them they have, I don't know whether it's Hanuman, but they do worship a monkey god. And they do worship someone called the Goddess of Mercy. Some they have Buddha. And very, very common, they worship a general, a historical general, China. Especially amongst the triads, the gangsters, they worship that particular general. When they take vows, they end the tribe, they have a whole ceremony, worship that general. They cut them, they mix the blood, and so on and so forth. But every home, they will also have an altar of the ancestor. The gotra they come from. And every year, during they call it the ghost festival, they will go to the cemetery, they do their worship, things like that. And you find all these hills and everywhere, and the temples are all packed with people on those days, that day. People go there and worship. So people worship the ancestors, they will go to Pitri Loka, the land of the ancestors. But one who worship me, Krishna said, will come back to me. So different worship will bring different results. It's not that it's not all one. And very clearly in the Bhagavatam is stated here, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Parodamo, Vasudeva Parakati. Vasudeva Paraveda. By all the revealed scriptures, I am to be known. Starting of the scripture means to know Krishna. And Paramaka, sacrifices. The performance of sacrifices is meant to please Vasudeva. And Vasudeva Parayogi, yoga. And yoga, practice of yoga is also to men to understand, to realize Krishna. Vasudeva Parakriya, fruitive activities. Fruitive activities is awarded by Krishna. Whatever results one won by his practice is worship. Austerity is all given by Vasudeva. And Vasudeva Param Jnanam. Knowledge means to know Krishna. If one claims to have knowledge, but he does not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his knowledge is insufficient. Doesn't matter how many titles he has in front and back of his name. They may call themselves doctor so-so-so, with a PhD behind, okay. Doesn't matter. Any new bhakta who comes in, and he knows, even the child comes in and says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His knowledge is superior. And all these people who have so much so-called degrees and diplomas and so much education. And Vasudeva Param Tapa. Performance of austerities is also meant to please Krishna. We perform austerity to please Krishna. Not perform austerity just for the sake of gaining power. And Vasudeva Parodamo. Real religion means to worship Krishna. Actually, basically, this is what religion is all about. Every religion teaches the same thing, to love God with all your heart, isn't it? Every religion is teaching to love. So this is real religion, to understand that Vasudeva is the cause of all causes. And Vasudeva Paragati is the goal of life. Vasudeva is the goal of life. So are there maybe one question? Or comments? That's true.
What would happen in a person that starts worshipping
the Lord Krishna, but then due to some circumstances they reject the personal form of the Lord and they start worshipping the unmanifested form?
So
that person is the most unfortunate. Even the rocks would cry out of pity for such a person. They will have to go through something, but eventually they will come. But whatever devotional service they perform is never lost. But by worshipping in personal form, they're committing a lot of offenses. They will have to suffer.
They say that they don't want to bring any attributes to God.
Yeah. Yeah. That is why the pure devotee, they are so angry with the Mayavadis. Because basically what they are saying, like Prabhupada is saying, what they are saying is that he has no eyes. God is blind. He has no ears. He's deaf. He cannot speak. He's dumb. Right? This is what you are saying when you are saying there's no attributes. So they are committing a lot of offenses. They are the greatest prashanti. greatest offender. The karmis, they may be out of ignorance, they neglect, but then they are not committing offenses as such. But the maya means they are openly committing offenses. Very inauspicious.
Srila Prabhupada said that Lady Saraswati, you know, she knew, because Saraswati always said, Krishna is speaking to anybody. The Prabhupada was very happy. Saraswati knows Krishna.
This girl, the young girl, sometimes a Sunday guest, he will walk up to a Sunday guest, she was 5 years old, the first child born in the Krishna Conscious Movement. They walk up to the guest and say, do you know who is Krishna? No. And she will say with conviction, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada, some devotee was telling Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada is very pleased. He said, this is preaching. Someone may challenge her, yes, this is a small child, what do you know? I heard from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, and we repeat, is there anything wrong with that information? I may not have realized that. I mean, just like a child, out of full faith, he's just repeating what the father said. This microphone, he has no idea what the microphone is. He has no idea how it works. But is there anything wrong with that knowledge? And nothing wrong with the statement. You can back it up to the tilt. Right? So, we just repeat, learn to repeat what we have heard. And by repeating, one day we will realize. Hearing and chanting. Here in chanting. Yes, Madhini.
The way I understand it, the Srinathakatam
is literally the incarnation of the Lord. Yeah. You mentioned
that one of the great devotees, Sugadev Goswami. What I really can't understand is that I was told that Sugadev Goswami was Radharani's parent. How did a parent become a human?
Sugadev was a parent?
Well,
being
taught that here, that he was
Radharani's
parent.
Oh.
Well,
first I've never heard. I'm not saying that the information is wrong. I just never heard. You heard that? Is Sugadev was a parent of Radharani? Yeah. Okay. But anyway, they can appear in any form. They are not limited. Jesus in the spiritual world, their relationship with Krishna or Radharani is as a parent. But when they manifest in this world, they can manifest in any form to facilitate the persons of Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
You
remember
that somebody
was doing Lord Sadhguru
and
Lord
Ram appeared.
Lord Ram appeared.
Yes.
I didn't mention that. Someone else mentioned that. Anyway.
And he wanted to have the same language
from. Oh, Lord Brahma.
Brahma.
Ah, Brahma. Lord Brahma. I heard that story from the Guru Maharaj and Japta Maharaj. Yeah. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.